Good morning. It's 11 minutes before 8 a.m. This is Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka. Today is Monday, March 3rd, 2014. I'm Melissa Marconi-Wenzel with Raven News. The White House has nominated the Coast Guard's Pacific Area Commander to be its next commandant. Vice Admiral Paul Zukunft was nominated Friday to replace outgoing Coast Guard Commandant Admiral Robert Papp. Papp gave his final State of the Coast Guard address of his four-year term on Wednesday. Zukunft has served as Pacific Area Commander since 2012. Before that, his duties included serving as the Federal On-Scene Coordinator for the Deepwater Horizon oil spill in 2010. Zukunft's nomination requires confirmation by the Senate. He would be the Coast Guard's 25th Commandant. A groundskeeper at Sitka's golf course will serve jail time for attempting to poison brown bears. 31-year-old Kevin Taranoff was sentenced to 1 month in jail to pay $1,000 in fines and to serve 2 years probation. Taranoff pleaded guilty in Sitka District Court last Monday to one count of unlawful methods and means to take game. The investigation began in October of last year after two dogs died from consuming a toxic substance in the vicinity of Sitka's Sea Mountain Golf Course. State wildlife troopers learned that Taranoff had placed food laced with antifreeze coolant near the Sea Mountain restaurant. The poisonous food could have been what killed the two dogs. Taranoff acted alone without the permission or knowledge of golf course management. Troopers said he had taken matters into his own hands in an attempt to stop the bears from tearing holes in the course. You can find a link to the original story reported last October on our website, kcaw.org. Last week, Sitka's current city administrator, Mark Gorman, invited three of his predecessors, Carrie Paxton, Hugh Bevan, and John Stein, to join him for a public town hall meeting to discuss how to tackle some of the major challenges ahead for the city. The event was broadcast live on Raven Radio. Rachel Waldholtz has the details.
It was billed as a chance to hash out some big, serious issues. How can the city balance a growing demand for services with flat or declining revenue? Should we raise taxes, cut services, grow the economy, and how? But the night started out on a simpler note.
But I was going to say, everybody raise their hand who doesn't recycle, but don't do that. But listen, if you don't recycle, dang it, recycle.
That was Gary Paxton, who was city administrator for 9 years from 1992 to 2001. It might seem like a small issue, but Paxton argued that engaging citizens, in ways both large and small, has always been the key to meeting Sitka's challenges. When the city clearly explains a need, he said, residents rise to the occasion.
Now, the good news is that our citizens, in my view, have always come to the needs of the city government in our town when the need is there.
For instance, he said, when the pulp mill closed during his tenure, residents voted to increase the sales tax from 4% to 5% to keep the city budget afloat. The panel split over the question of deferred maintenance, that is, the amount the city has to pay to keep up basic infrastructure. Gorman said the city will need $97 million to cover deferred maintenance over the next 20 years.
We all talk about, well, maybe it's time to let our roads go back to gravel. We're not even putting enough aside to take care of gravel roads.
But Hugh Bevan, who served as city administrator from 2003 to 2005, said the situation is not nearly so dire.
I think we need to keep one foot on the ground with this whole deferred maintenance thing. I've been watching this the last couple of years, and I've been fortunate to live in a lot of little towns in Alaska over the last 45 years, and Sitka's in really great shape. You're building an $11 million addition to this building, a brand new library. We just paid cash for a fire station, putting brand new roofs on everything. I think we've sort of spooked ourselves with this whole deferred maintenance.
Bevan said that one way to address road repairs is through public-private partnerships, in which local neighborhoods band together to pitch in 25% of the cost of their local street work. John Stein, who served as administrator from 2005 to 2008, said Sitka has seen that process work before.
That's how Sitka's roads were built. A third was the city, a third was one side of the street, and a third was the other side of the street, and we used state money. So a lot of that 1970 construction was shared costs.
Stein also pointed out that Sitka has enjoyed about 40 years of low property taxes, and maybe that era has to come to an end. Resident Ann Polnow proposed a different option, rescinding the senior sales tax exemption.
And I know it's never a popular. It's been proposed at assembly meetings, and it always gets shot down. And I feel very brave right now coming forward with that. But I am, because I'm having a really hard time.
Many in the audience agreed with Poll Now. Others said that seniors living on fixed incomes are already stretched too thin, and getting rid of the exemption could drive them out of town. One thing everyone agreed on was the need for more affordable housing. Sitka resident Eric Jordan said the city's biggest asset is its location and vibrant community, but that many people who would otherwise flock to Sitka are locked out by the price of homes.
Fishermen from around this region, I know several, including my own son, who they would love to live here if they could afford it.
Current city administrator Mark Gorman said he recognized the importance of talking about some of these issues informally before the assembly begins its annual and often stressful budget process. He referred to his three predecessors as an important asset for the community and said that he personally had learned a lot. Gorman suggested that Sitkins talk more about these issues in the future, and also...
Dang it, recycle. It makes you feel good.
In Sitka, I'm Rachel Waldholz.
You can listen to the full town hall meeting on our website, kcaw.org. And last week, the Orthodox Diocese of Sitka and Alaska installed David Mahaffey as its 16th bishop. An historic and ornate ceremony was held in Sitka, attracting Orthodox bishops from New York to Quebec. On the steps of St. Michael's Cathedral, Native elders welcomed Metropolitan Tikhon, the head of the Orthodox Church in America, with the traditional bread and salt. Emily Foreman spoke with Mahaffey about his journey to bishophood.
David Mahaffey had never dreamed of becoming a bishop, because he's always been a family man. On the night before his official installment as the Bishop of Sitka and Alaska, by the yellow light of the Subway Sandwiches sign outside of his hotel window, Mahaffey looks over a plaque given to him by the National Park Service. It lists all of the Orthodox bishops in Alaska ever.
From the first one in 1799.
Dating back to the Russian colonial period.
To me in 2014.
It's an enormous privilege that comes with enormous responsibility.
Being able to be here in Sitka and thinking about all those names and the history and the tradition that I've now become a part of is just an overwhelming feeling of humbleness.
Mahaffey is the 16th bishop of America's first Orthodox diocese, and America's first Orthodox bishop, St. Innocent, resided in Sitka. Father Michael Boyle, the priest and dean of Sitka's historic St. Michael's Cathedral, says that makes Sitka the motherland of Orthodoxy in the United States.
St. Innocent came to Alaska as the second wave of missionaries. They asked him to become bishop of this new diocese of the Russian Church in Alaska, which he questioned whether he could do or not because he was concerned for his children and their care.
Over a century later, Mahaffey admits to the same trepidations, namely the distance from his grown children and first grandchild who live in Pennsylvania. And on Sunday, he treaded in St. Innocent's footsteps. Alongside Orthodox bishops and clergy dressed in golden robes, Mahaffey marched from the Russian Bishop's House to St. Michael's Cathedral in Sitka. This procession has been in place since the first Orthodox bishop was installed. In less than two city blocks, it would be official. But for Mahaffey, it's the culmination of decades of personal exploration. When Mahaffey's wife passed away in 2007, a door opened. He could make the move from priest to bishop by accepting a monastic lifestyle.
When I became widowed, one of the things that happens is you, quote-unquote, become eligible.
But Mahaffey would have preferred to have his wife rather than an open door.
She was everything to me.
And that's not an overstatement. Mahaffey was raised Methodist. His wife was Orthodox. After they married, he realized that Orthodoxy had something to offer that the Methodist faith lacked. At his first Orthodox service, Mahaffey says he was instantly hooked.
I was just like a sponge. I'm absorbing all this, and it's like, oh man, this is what I want.
That same day, on their way to his mother's, Mahaffey says his wife expressed that she didn't want to be seen as having influenced his conversion.
We get to my mother's, and I go in, and my wife was a hairdresser, so And my mother wanted her hair done. So my wife got her stuff out, and she's looking at me. She's like, she knows what I'm going to say. So she's behind my mother. My mother can't see her. And she's looking at me like, oh, you know, don't do this. Don't do this. And I said, Mom, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I've decided that I want to become Orthodox and I want to be a priest someday. Now, I'd never said that before.
Mahaffey converted, but left his priesthood up to fate. He had a secular job working as a car salesman, but felt unfulfilled. It was his wife who suggested that he go to seminary. After his wife died, the Diocese of Sitka in Alaska wanted him for bishop. He was still reluctant because he didn't want to leave his kids, but a friend convinced him to at least visit. So last year, in Kodiak, on the anniversary of his wife's repose, during the celebration of St. Herman's pilgrimage, it finally clicked.
Look, let me explain it to you. This is going on kind of, you know, like, I don't know if it was St. Herman or my wife or God or whoever saying, don't you get it? You know, you had a beautiful wife who was beautiful inside and out, and she really was. So what came to me was this sense that, look, I've replaced your wife's physical beauty with the beauty of Alaska. And I've replaced her inner beauty with the beauty of the people of Alaska. Isn't that what you want?
From that point forward, it felt right. Mahaffey was meant to be in Alaska. For AK, I'm Emily Foreman. And that's all for Raven News for this morning. You can listen to or read most Raven News stories again on our website, kcaw.org. To read comments on our stories on Facebook, click on the Facebook link. No registration or login is required. And to have KCAW News headlines tweeted directly to your smartphone, tablet, or computer, click on the Twitter link. We're coming up on 1 minute after 8 a.m. This is KCAW Sitka. We're going to head into NPR's Morning Edition. Then I'll have a live local interview for you at 8:18 this morning. Stay tuned.